And welcome back to Fully Equipped, Golf.com's gear-focused podcast where we take weekly PGA Tour news related to golfers of all skill levels. I'm Tim Brion, Executive Vice President of True Spec Golf, joined by Jonathan Wall, Managing Editor for Equipment for Golf.com. Unfortunately, Mr. Tursky will not be able to join us this week. He's having technical difficulties out at the event site at TPC Summerlin. So, unfortunately, won't be able to join us. But, Jonathan, we've got a lot to talk about this week. How you doing, buddy?
It's probably a good thing Tursky had turned this episode into an absolute clown show. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. It was very interesting for the first four or five takes.
Seven that takes. To have with this I don't episode. Know. I lost track.
Seven, eight. I lost count. But yeah, he actually just slacked me and said that his phone overheated. So I mean,
so
what are you
folks,
gonna do?
Tursky's
rolling a hot hand. He's in Vegas. His phone's overheating. He's too hot to handle.
He just wants to get out to the casinos, I'm sure. So, but yeah. We do have a lot of gear news to talk about this week. You know, Sergio got back in the winner's circle. We've got an interesting story out of the European Tour. This is probably one of the more funny stories that we'll cover all year.
It's a good one.
We've got a ton of new gear out on tour. And also an announcement from the company that I work for, True Spec Golf, as far as related to what's going on out on tour. We've got the 20th anniversary of an iconic product that's been around now. Hard to believe it's been 20 years, but it really kind of changed the game. So really interesting episode. Let's get into our first topic, though, Sergio's winning bag. You know, he was on staff for so long with TaylorMade, and then, you know, obviously ended up, you know, leaving the family over at TaylorMade and spent a few years with another manufacturer. He's now off contract, Jonathan, and he's been off contract for how long?
Yeah, I mean, it's been basically a year now that he's been off contract. And, you know, that was kind of a weird breakup between Sergio and Callaway, kind of the way that it all went down. And, you know, he just kind of seemed to say, look, you know, it's not working. Let's just kind of go our separate ways. And that's kind of what they've done. And he's gone back to a fairly similar setup to what he had before he signed that deal. And that's a pretty TaylorMade heavy golf bag. He's TaylorMade Sim and the driver, 3-wood, 5-wood. He's got the TaylorMade Spider X putter, the TaylorMade TP5 golf ball. And then he actually does throw in, again, as you mentioned, kind of brand agnostic. He throws in the Ping Blueprint irons. Those went back in the bag after the U.S. Open. He had briefly used the TaylorMade, the P7 MBE blades. And I should say it's kind of an interesting week to throw a set of new blades in the bag at a U.S. Open, one of the toughest tests in golf. Yeah. And then he goes to Vokey, SM8, and the wedges 52-58. So, you know, I wouldn't say an eclectic setup, but he does kind of mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, the Blueprint iron, he hit them beautifully throughout the event. You know, it's kind of a unique iron. It's very, very short, you know, heel-to-toe blade length. And Ping, you know, did a lot of research as far as somebody's consistency with returning the face to the same position. And kind of saw that the shorter blade lengths do help aid consistency with returning the club to the same position every time. So, you know, that's really interesting that he kind of went back to some familiar product here too. I think the ball's a big part of this, right? I know that he...
For sure.
You know, Callaway makes a great golf ball, but he never got comfortable with it, to my understanding. And that ultimately may have been one of the big things that led to, you know, the breakup there. And as far as the ball that he had played when he was with TaylorMade, what did he play when he was on that contract for so long?
He was TP5 when he
TP5, and then the family of balls that preceded it, like Lethal and things like that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So it's, I mean, again, familiarity. I want to point out though, Tim, Blueprint, interesting iron for Ping, because you know they've kind of hung their hat on cast iron products. And we actually, on the previous episode, we had Patrick Boyd on talking about, you know, forged versus cast products and kind of doing a deep dive into that for people that really aren't familiar with the different processes. But, you know, Ping with this iron, it's forged. from, I believe it's 8620 carbon steel, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. So it's a little bit of a shift for them away from the cast design. But again, this iron is about as true of a blade as I think they've ever made. You know, the iBlade that came out before it had a little bit of that scooped cavity. So it had a little bit more perimeter weighting, but this one for the most part is a pure blade with the exception of that weight port in the toe. I mean, it's, if you set it down at a dress, it sets up for those, you know, elite ball strikers.
Yep. And, you know, Sergio played on Saturday with Kevin Chappell, which actually leads us into a little thing to mention here in that, you know, TruSpec Golf actually finally announced that we are officially getting into working with tour players and launching a tour department. So we'll get into that at length next week when Kevin can spend some time here in the studio. But it
finally.
We've been working together for a while. Had to make a quick trip out to Las Vegas this week to make a little shaft change on the driver. The previous part wasn't quite hitting the mark. But we'll get into all that stuff next week. But, you know, it was great to see, you know, all the new gear that's starting to launch out there, Jonathan. There were a lot of sets of irons being built yesterday. And, you know, when we look at some of the new gear, we've got the Strixon irons. Obviously, Titleist introduced their driver here recently. Callaway is launching a whole new suite of products. Really exciting to look at. Titleist launched the new golf ball this week in conjunction with the 20th anniversary of the Pro V. So there's a lot to talk about here as far as new gear. But before we get into that, have you ever used iron covers?
Wait for this to come up. No, I will go searching for golf balls in the woods, as we've talked about many times.
But iron covers are too taboo.
But iron covers are where I draw the line. I will never use a set of iron covers.
What's your first thought? You're rolling up to a bag drop, and you set, let's just say, a set of patent leather iron head covers. What's the first thing that pops in your mind? Word association. Go.
I mean, I'm hoping I'm getting paired with them on the first tee because I'm air hammering on every single shot, guaranteed. except for maybe the guy that won on the European tour with iron covers. I'm not sure I'd be doing that against him.
Man, so iron covers get in the winner's circle, huh? I think you found that. You were cruising through Getty, I'm sure, and came across that gem. And so for those of you who didn't see Jonathan, what was it? Was it on Twitter where you got that one out of the space?
I posted on Twitter. It's that was low hanging fruit for me, Tim. Because
hold on, time out. So the last part of this is that the iron covers apparently were wrong lofted. So what do you got to do? You got to get a Sharpie and you got to cross the numbers out and write the right numbers.
It's the best part about the so. Let's back up to 2018, somebody alerted me to a photo of Aaron Rye's golf bag. And I'm like, okay, this can't be a real pro's golf bag. He had a Yoda head cover, really cool. Love the Yoda head cover.
Okay.
But he had some of the most beat up iron covers that I've ever seen. And they're tailor-made iron covers. The leather on them
like
is cracked.
Are they leather or the neoprene stuff that like all dry cracks?
No, they're maybe pleather because I mean the leather was just cracking. I mean, you could literally see behind where the leather was. I mean it was like the meshing.
So what's next? Are we going to see a bag on tour that has space dividers where every club has its own slot?
I mean, although you know what? 2020 has thrown us more curveballs from a gear perspective than I think any other year. We've had guys playing 9 woods. This is kind of the year of the 7 wood.
We're going to a 48-inch driver here soon.
48-inch driver testing. We've got guys using, although, you know, Phil did use the Frankenwood.
Yeah.
But Bryson with like a 10.5 degree 2 wood. And now we've got another, you know,
hybrids.
Aaron had one before, but now we got a guy with iron covers again. It's just, yeah, 2020. I'm kind of done with it. I'm ready to.
The winner of the Women's British Open had a pole cart. What's going on? Yeah.
Just different times right now for gear. I love it, but kind of ready to get back to a little bit of normalcy, maybe.
Yep. So let's get into some of the new gear, as we mentioned prior to this. And you know what? I always said to myself, at least, you know, when I look at the iron covers and I walk up to the bag drop, the instant thing that came to my mind was, I can beat you. Like, there's no way a guy with iron covers is going to beat me. But now a guy wins on the European Tour, I can't even say that anymore. So
I was gonna say, maybe you don't double down on every hole.
Yeah, exactly right. So
auto press your way all the way to 18.
Oh man, iron covers, I can't get over it. Ball retriever, is a ball retriever going to show up on tour? Come on now, guys.
Let's make it happen.
So, anyways. We've also got a bunch of new gear. Let's get into some of that. You know, Strixon irons, I think Harold Varner, does he have them in play? I wasn't sure if he had them in play or was just testing them.
Yeah, it looks like they're in the bag, the new ZX7. They're one of their cavity back versions. I know they have a ZX5 as well. And these are going to be the replacements for the 585 and the 785. That have been so popular. Great iron. Strixon, in my opinion, and I don't know kind of where you fall on this, Tim, but I think they are a sneaky good iron. And I say sneaky good because a lot of people don't really talk about them all that much.
You gamed them for a while.
But I did. They're awesome irons. Good. Yeah, they're really solid. And great options if you want to do a blended. So this is kind of the next version of those, and now you're kind of starting to see more players. I know that Shane Lowry, right at the beginning of the start to the new season in Napa, put in the new irons into the bag, and he said it was a pretty seamless transition. I think, you know, when you've got something that good, you don't want to make too many changes. So you know, it's just about trying to make those incremental ones where the tour pros are going to see some sort of improvement in an area. Maybe it's dispersion. You know, they probably aren't looking for something that's longer, and just kind of keep it at that. So. I'm curious to kind of hear what those guys are thinking as they start to use them for, you know, maybe a couple months now.
For sure. You know, Strixon has definitely flown under the radar when it comes to irons. I gamed a set of 745s. And by the way, that 745 set, I think, was probably a little better than the 765s. The 785 model, which was the most recent here that they just transitioned out of, was very close to the 745. But I still think that 745 iron, it was just so good. There are a couple guys on tour. I know Graham McDowell still games sets of 745s. Just the design on the sole, the CG, the whole thing was so amazing. But, you know, Strixon is part of a big Japanese conglomerate. And when they kind of took the reins over there, they started to forge all their irons at a place in Japan called Endo Manufacturing. And Endo does some of the finest forgings. You know, there are a couple of premium forging houses over there in Japan that they just do superior work. And ever since they changed to the Endo manufactured products, they've just had an amazing sound and an amazing feel. So that's one thing that stands out. They in the past, they've tended to be lower spin, kind of flatter ball flight products. So if you were somebody that hit it, you know, super high, they would be helpful. But if you were somebody who hit it super low without a lot of spin, then you would usually have to pair that with a shaft that could help create a bit of launch. And so, but I've been told that there's some changes to these new irons that are going to help them create a little bit more spin, so they, you know, fit into a broader demographic of players. But, you know, they've been great products for a long time. And then the next big, you know, news in the new gear front, I think, Jonathan, are the Callaway gear. Looks like an MBE iron. I saw, you know, an X-Forged iron. I saw even an Apex looking like a prototype. And the blade iron looks very familiar. I think that is something that is a derivative of a prototype set that J.J. Spahn played, or at least something that I've seen him play with in the past. Really good looking stuff coming out of Callaway. This launch was kind of sudden. I wasn't expecting this. I didn't know they were going to launch irons, and you know, and hear the news release and was issued yesterday, I think it was. So,
well, the interesting thing is that I've seen these the MB version, the one you're talking about, that has this it has a screw
right
in the muscle pad, and it I haven't gotten the full rundown on these yet, full disclosure, but you know, that screw to me looks like it's removable.
Yeah, it looks like a discretionary weight that when you're trying to add, so if you're trying to, like when you're building the club, what it looks like right. to me is like when you're building it and you're having to use different adjustable weightings to get the different swing weight points, you know, the way that club builders typically will do that is they will use tip weights, and those are weights that go into either the hosel, down the hosel, or stuff that will go up into the tip of the shaft. And, you know, the problem with that is that it will change the CG, or the center of gravity of the golf club, a little bit, especially if you're having to use a lot of tip weight. It can do it fairly radically, and that may change a little bit about performance and feel. And as we know, when we're talking about PGA Tour players, they're very, very sensitive to very fractional changes in gear. So, yeah.
Well, the Apex has it as well, although it looks like maybe it's a different material, maybe tungsten. Yep. Maybe steel, and kind of as you mentioned, and this is something that I've immediately thought about when I saw this Apex iron with this removable weight piece, or at least what I assume is removable. Mm-hmm. You know, Toulon Design, who's owned and operated by Callaway, also you know, part of the Odyssey family, their putters have that removable weight piece in the sole.
Yep.
So you can dial in the head weight of that putter. And they have different types of materials to go up or down in head weight. So makes me wonder if they're kind of taking a page from Toulon and doing something similar with this Apex. Really interesting stuff.
Well, you know the
Apex.
The TaylorMade TPMC product that Daniel Berger was gaming for so long had a similar weighting system. You've seen this technology before where they add a discretionary weight port, you know, right in the center of the face of the club, so that when you do have to add weighting, it's going to, you know, affect CG minimally. And it's really helpful for builders, you know, when we're trying to get to certain swing weights for players. When you have to add a lot of tip weight, it's going to change some things in a lot of cases. So, you know, just looking at the general design of the product and the shaping, you know, they look typically Callaway. They're a little bit more rounded shape in certain areas of the design. But they all the new products look really, really good. I'm excited to, you know, get our hands on them.
I know Apex has done really well for TruSpec.
Yeah, it's been
a popular product.
It's been one of the category leaders, you know, in that game enhancement. You know, launches high, has ridiculously high ball speed, super forgiving. A lot of LPGA Tour players have fared well with Apex or Apex Pro. You know, obviously the Apex Pro product Xander has in play, you know, a raw version of that, I think. But, you know, these products have been great irons for a lot of players. And I know, you know, the team over at Callaway, I know they're excited to get these out in the marketplace. It's a competitive iron market right now between the new P-Series irons from TaylorMade. I've heard amazing things about the 770 product. Now we've got some Callaway, you know, launching some premium products, and Strixon bringing some out as well. So, very
it's that time
exciting
of year, man.
Gear news. Yeah, and the last
get more players testing. So,
that's right.
You know, that's kind of the thing. It's a good way to test.
Last piece to discuss as far as new gear is a new Pro V ball, which is the perfect segue into our gear spotlight, which is this is the 20th anniversary of Titleist Pro V. So, you know, you could argue that there are certain pieces of equipment that change the game. You know, when you're looking at steel shafts, that's clearly something that changes the game. When you're looking at large-headed drivers, that's something that changes the game. Talking about graphite shafts. But, you know, you'd have to say that the multi-piece hard golf ball, and really when you look at Pro Vs, you don't think of them as a hard ball, but if you frame them in the context of the old balls, like the Tour Bellottas, you know, it's a very different construction than what was used to be used. So it really, you know, advanced the ball category forward substantially and changed how far people hit it. And we've heard
I think, Tim, it's important to kind of provide a little bit of context about where we came from. And, you know, one of the things that, that I always bring up is, you know, Titleist, when they came out with the Pro V, the original Pro V1 at this exact event, the one in Las Vegas at TPC Summerlin, you know, the, back in 2000, it was at a time when it, I kind of felt like there was a little bit of a shift, because if you go back to the early 90s when Nick Price won a couple of majors, he was using a Precept EV ball that was a solid core construction. So most of the golf balls at that time, especially the players playing titles, were playing balls that had a liquid core. For those that, that are like myself who grew up, you know, at golf courses, working cart staff and stuff, we used to, when we were bored in the cart barn, we cut open Tour Baladas and the professionals. And, you know, it was fun because you'd cut it open and literally there was liquid in the middle of this golf ball. And I think they actually did studies that found that the liquid was basically like a kerosene oil or, I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
I told you, I told you on a previous episode that we used to light them on fire and they would blow up like cherry bombs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they, and they had the wound. So they had the wound rubber bands around the core, and literally if you caught the seam of one, you could get it to
unwind,
to spin, you could get that you get the unwinding effect. So that was what we were with at the time. But you know, there were a couple of things that were holding that ball back as technology started to improve. That one was cover durability. You know, if you played a Balata golf ball, it didn't take very long if you caught a wedge clean with a new ball. I remember talking to Billy Andre, and he said he used to change golf balls, you know, every couple of holes, because he was just ripping the cover off of those. It was a really soft Balata cover. And, you know, the new solid core construction was going to a little bit more of a durable cover that also provided, you know, distance improvements while also still having a lot of the short game spin that the tour players wanted. So that was kind of where we were at the time. So you had players like Nick Price. I remember Marco Mira winning the Masters in the British Open with the top flight, the Strata ball. So you could kind of see the momentum starting to move that direction. Yep. Then you got Tiger with the Nike, the Tour Accuracy.
So that was really that evolution, Jonathan. You know, there was some very rapid advancements there, and there were two specific products that really kind of paved the way for Pro V. And Pro V, obviously, an amazing product. Dean Snell was on the team. We need to get him on the pod here at some point. You know, he's been a part of so many of the ball teams that have produced amazing product. But, you know, that as far as that Pro V product, there were two products leading up to that, which really kind of, I think, you know, as product designers, you're inspired by other product designs. And so you see one manufacturer bring something out and they're using a new material and you say, oh, that's a good idea. Let me work with that material, but let me do it a little differently. A different, you know, theory or idea, you see that it works, it makes sense, and you say, okay, I can do that, but I'll put my spin on it. And basically, you know, Rexstar, do you remember the Rexstar golf ball, Jonathan? It was a Bridgestone product. It was really one of the first
polyurethane. Bridgestone made a lot of good products. They made the Precept ball. Bridgestone
is a rubber company, obviously, and as all these synthetic rubbers started to be developed, you know, they came out with this ball called Rexstar, which was a polyurethane cover. It was one of the first polyurethane cover golf balls. It still had traditional windings, and I don't remember what those windings were made out of, but, you know, it was a great golf ball, extremely soft, you know. And then you look at what was going on in the Strata, which was a Spalding product. That was their premium ball. You know, insider knowledge, I was part of the team that actually designed and tested the Strata ball. And so, you know, it was the first multi-layer hard golf ball that didn't feel like a top flight. And there were some really elite players that switched to it, and the spin rates you would get were substantial. Actually, more than you would get out of a Tour Balata, which was, you know, at the time, we didn't realize that maybe that much spin wasn't a good thing. But bottom line is those two products, you had this new core technology in golf balls that was this multi-piece hard material. And then you had this really soft, soft cover that was really thin. But still durable, and that was always the problem. When you would get a soft cover that was super thin, it would shred, and you'd go through a golf ball every hole. Now all of a sudden the ball stands up. You kind of mix all that stuff together, and what do you get? Well, you get a Pro V. And obviously the dimple design patterns and the things that they do in golf ball design to make it aerodynamic and make sure that different parts of the ball are compressing. But man, I remember once that Pro V, the first Pro V, do you remember, there was actually a little bit of bias pole and equator on when the ball was struck. We've talked
about this before on the podcast. You could seam it.
The very first edition of Pro V, they hadn't figured out to make a slightly asymmetrical seam. And I saw this on robots where you would line the ball up on the equator and you'd get like a 7-yard draw and spin would drop like 200 RPMs, go a little flatter and further. And then you'd line it up on the pole and the ball would go like, you know, 5 to 7 yards more to the right and have a little cut on it and spin more and go shorter. So obviously that's not good because when you're in a fairway, you don't know which way it's oriented and how it's going to end up.
There's a reason why the USGA had titles pull that ball, because there was a real benefit if you lined it up. So if you looked at the original Pro V1, the 392, you could see a seam on the cover. Mm-hmm. And I remember playing the ball back when I was in high school, and you know, I thought it was a placebo effect. Like, man, if you actually seam it, you could get a couple extra yards. And it was,
I saw it happen on robots. They had
to come out with another ball.
I saw it happen on robots, Jonathan, and it was pretty wild. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Which, you know, as I mentioned, that actually could be an issue, because when you're playing, if you play the ball how it lies, the way we're supposed to, how do you predict which way it's going to be when you get it in the fairway? So, but, you know, this product line has stayed in for 20 years. How many product lines, you know, stay current for 20 years? I can't remember.
I mean, I think if you were going to do like a Mount Rushmore of like the most impactful gear products of all time, I mean, you got to have the Pro V. Pro V's got to be on there. Mm-hmm. The Ping Answer putter has to be on there.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some products that
I'd say Ping Eye golf clubs, Ping Eye, you know, the original Ping Eye
with the perimeter weighting for sure. I mean, there are some products that just kind of roll off your tongue, you know, because they've been so impactful over the years. And I'm with you. I mean, how often does a product last for this long? I mean, they've made a lot of changes to the ball over the years, mm-hmm. you know, but again, it's the staying power. The very first week that ball came out on tour, they had 47 players back in 2000 switched to the new Pro V1. It's the largest pluralistic shift to a new product the very first week in the history of golf, which goes to show you that a lot of guys noticed that there was a huge, you know, advantage to playing that golf ball over the Titleist Professional, over the Bellotta. And that's why they started moving that direction. You know, I think that it was just Titleist was already working on that ball. They've been working on it for a while. I also think that Tiger Woods' influence in the way that he was playing, you got to remember that 2000 was the 2000 going into 2001 was the Tiger Slam.
Yep.
And Tiger had just switched golf balls to the Nike, to the solid construction Nike ball. And it was, you know, almost overnight, he went from being a great player to being world beater. So it is certainly one of those products that you have to put up there at the top of the list as being one of the most impactful. And it continues to be. I mean, Pro V1, Pro V1X is far and away the most played golf ball on the PGA Tour. It's the golf ball everybody out at their local golf courses wants to play if they've got, you know, the money to buy one, because it's such a good ball. And they've made these incremental changes, not a lot of wholesale stuff over the years, but it's enough to where, like this week, a tour player texted the Titleist guys and said, hey, look, I don't know what you guys did this time around, but this is by far the best ball you've ever made. Of all the Pro Vs that I've used over the years, this is by far the best one. So there's already a lot of positive feedback first week out for the new version.
What are the differences? You know, I haven't really drilled down on this yet. What has been disclosed as far as performance differences or design differences?
So, you know, that's the tough thing about like the very first week out, is it's always difficult to really get that sort of intel. Titleist is pretty tight-lipped that, you know, I would say the first few months before they do the rollout for retail. But a couple of things that, at least from one tour player who tested it, he said it had a long, great flight, better feel on all shots, particularly around the green. And he said that one of the things that he noticed was it actually stayed on the face longer and it had a really good feel, spins the way that he was looking for on chipping. And, you know, this is somebody who said, you know, can I switch to the ball this week? And if so, can I get another half dozen for more to practice in the next couple of days? So some interesting insights from a tour player, some of the things that they're noticing, you know, again, spin around the green has always been very important, but I always kind of go to what he said about staying on the face a little bit longer in the feel. So, you know, one player's opinion, but there are some buzzwords there that I think maybe you can glean a little bit of insight from maybe what we could see from this new ball.
And, you know, when Kevin gets back next week, we're going to do some work. You know, he plays the left dash. And yeah, we're going to see if maybe this ball is a better option. You know, it makes a really, really big deal around the greens. You know, we made a wedge shaft change, you know, a couple months back. And, you know, he mentioned this last week. He said there was a shot, you know, he had pulled a 5-wood at Jackson Country Club way over onto a tee box, and it was on a tightly mown tee. So he's hitting a pitch shot off of a tee box, short-sighted over a bunker, has to stop it within 10 feet. That's tough for anybody, no matter who you are. And he pulled it off, hit it to a couple feet, and said to me, you know, that shaft change we made into that wedge shaft product, I couldn't have hit that with the previous shafts that I had in my wedges. You know, being able to hit that, and what they're looking for is they're looking for additional spin, but not with a heightened trajectory. They don't want to hit it higher and spin it more. If anything, they want to hit it lower, but actually spin it more. And that's a very unique combination, obviously, because usually you need loft in order to create spin. So if this ball, you know, produces a slightly lower trajectory or the same trajectory and spins a lot more with wedges, you know, a lot of folks are going to switch into this ball. And as you know, when it comes to Pro Vs, we've discussed this in the past, you know, a lot of these guys, it's like vintages of wine. They like to play specific editions of the product. So just because everybody's using Pro V out on tour doesn't mean they're all using the same Pro V. A lot of guys may play slightly different variations based upon year to year. But if this product, you know, this newest product that's launching here this week, the same thing I heard from a couple other players as well, Jonathan, that they all are raving about how good the golf ball felt, initial first reaction. So, and with that, let's get into, you know, last week we did a little giveaway, Jonathan. And we're giving away some product. So who's going to get all the gear?
Yep. So if you missed it, unfortunately, we did post it on social, on our social handles. It's at Fully Equipped Golf on Instagram and at Fully_Equipped on Twitter if you want to follow us there. Tursky actually posted some great photos of the new Callaway products and the Srixon product that we were talking about over on our Instagram account if you want to see them in person. But we did. As you mentioned, we were giving away two Cleveland RTX Zipcore wedges in the new finishes, along with a new Mitsubishi Chemical Tensei first responder shaft. And that was only being given away to first responders. And we have three winners. So for the darts wedge, it was the one that actually has the tour, the raw finish. We're giving that to, I don't even know how I'm going to, it's at SEHACHIROKU. See Hachiroku on Twitter. Congratulations, you are the winner.
That's amazing, Jonathan. I think you nailed it, buddy.
I think I probably did. You know, hopefully I get paid extra for that. And so you are the winner of the darts wedge, the winner of the golf mag. It was the RTX Zipcore with the golf mag logo on it. Is also another person from Twitter, Yong Hove. I'm going to guess this is probably Jay-Z's son. Congratulations. You're the winner of the Golf Mag stamped wedge. And the first responder shaft is going to Amber Alberici on Instagram. That's her handle is at Amber, AmberAlberici. Congratulations, you're the winner of the first responder shaft. I'll be reaching out to everybody to get addresses to ship the product. But, you know, as we always say, we got plenty of stuff coming in, and we're going to be doing more giveaways going down the road.
Yeah, thank you to all you listeners out there for tuning in, and congratulations to all the folks who win the swag and get the new gear. Have fun with it out there. Enjoy it. This week, folks, we do not have an interview guest, but next week we will be taking a deep dive with Kevin Chappell regarding his decision to go brand agnostic. Should be some great content for you folks out there. If folks out there are looking for more content on gear, you can always follow us on our social channels. It's on Twitter, @fully_equipped, and you can also find us on Instagram, @fullyequippedgolf. Thanks so much for tuning in, folks. We'll talk to you next week.